God does amazing things. Amen. You know, he does amazing things, and I want to tell and highlight and I want to celebrate those moments because they are worth celebrating. You know, the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner repents. And if the angels are celebrating that, we should too. Amen. Somebody comes to know Christ, and I'm telling you, it's amazing. But you know, we need to display that faith that we have in this in front of everybody around us today so that the next generation can carry that faith too, right? You know, that's how the next generation gets to know Jesus, is about this generation and what they do. Amen. It's what we do because we've been called for this time, right? Maybe we didn't want to be born this time. Maybe we wanted to live 100 years ago. We would have been sitting with no air conditioning on a hot day like today. Yeah, no. I'm glad we have that. But what I'm saying is it is our time right now to share our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, we've not witnessed, I've not witnessed Moses parting the Red Sea. I've not witnessed Jonah getting swallowed by a big fish. I've not witnessed Samson slaying 1,000 Philistines. I've not witnessed David slaying Goliath. I've not witnessed any of them, but I believe it. Amen. I believe it by faith, right? My faith in that. I didn't see Jesus crucified. I didn't walk with Jesus. I didn't see him walk on water. I didn't get to hear him preach, but yet I believe in every word that the Bible says, right? I believe in those truths. Why? By faith, not by witness, by faith. Okay? And the experience in my heart, because I know what the power of the Holy Spirit's done. I hope that God can open up our minds and hearts this morning that we may be empowered and transformed in some way that we can hear his word and hear the truth of God's word. And I would ask you this morning, do we have a full commitment to God's word? Do you? I believe that we've got to, this generation right now, we have to be fully committed to God and to his word. Amen. If we're fully committed to his word, guess what the word is? The word became flesh. In John, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. And John goes on to talk about, but the Word became flesh, right? He talks about that. So when we're committed to the Word, not only are we committed to the Scripture that we have, we're committed to Jesus Christ himself. Amen? Think about that. The Word is powerful. It's living. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, Moses gives us really valuable instructions on passing down the truth of God's word from one generation to the next. And we see that we can cultivate all this in this legacy of faithfulness. It's continued on, right? Since for over, well, thousands of years. We can cultivate this and pass it on to our families. We can pass it on to our communities. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 says, and 7 says, and you must commit yourselves. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. I like that. The NLT says, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands. I like that. Wholeheartedly. every part of your heart to these commands that I am giving you. Repeat them again and again. I like that. Moses, he's emphasizing, he's highlighting the importance of a wholehearted commitment to the Word of God. Not just part of your heart, not just a little bit of yourself, but all of yourself, every part. I say this more than, it's more than just mere compliance with God. More than just compliance with His Word, this solo scriptura, meaning only Scripture or Scripture alone. Let me talk about that just a little bit. That solo scriptura, it doesn't mean that the Bible is all the Christians need to be saved or to live a faithful Christian life. Me and my Bible, you know, that's all I need. No, it's me and Jesus is what you need. It's not a complete picture of the Christian life either, is it? More than anything, what I need to be saved and to live a life pleasing to God is Jesus Christ in my life. Jesus and me isn't a complete picture of the Christian life either, but at least it really would express the right priorities in my life. The addition to that is Christ's saving work on my behalf. I need the Holy Spirit, right? I need the Holy Spirit to be active in my life. I need the Bible also, and I need prayer and so on. All of it working together. It's not just one part. Yes, you can have the head knowledge of all of the Scripture. You can know it word for word, but if it's not in your heart, what benefit is it? I also need the church. Come on now. I need my church family. I need to hear the gospel. We need to hear the gospel. And that happens through the witness of people who are part of the church. Who am I talking? Us, right? We bear witness to the things that Christ has done in us. Amen. Christ changed my life. He changed my life. Amen. He changed your life. I need the participation. I need to participate in corporate worship together. Man, is nothing more amazing. Nothing more amazing than to hear all of you singing. Because I can hear that up here. We can hear that up here. All you guys probably hear is, you know, my weakness up here in my voice. I need encouragement of fellowship with other believers too. We got to encourage one another. I need to be instructed and exhorted and challenged. I need to be rebuked and comforted by other Christians, including Christian leaders, to whom I'm accountable to. We need accountability partners in our life, don't we? Come on now. We don't like it. We don't like to be rebuked. Nobody likes that. It's not a word I rebuke you. We don't use those words hardly. But we need accountability. Accountability comes through the Scripture too. It's hard to hold somebody accountable unless it's written in the Scripture. You better be careful because that's what the Scripture says. You better go pull that beam out of your own eye before you pull that little speck out of your brother's eye. Sometimes you got to be careful how you judge your brother. You know, but as solo scriptura does not deny or diminish the importance of any of those things, is what I'm trying to say. It requires a deep-seated dedication to living out the truth of the Scripture through the power of the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our lives. You hear me? It's the truth of what's in the Word. It's the truth of what's in the Scripture that we live out in front of everyone. That's what's important. We can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of modern day believers that, but really we're called to model our lives in an unchanging of, let me say this again. The Bible doesn't change. The Word doesn't change. The world around us may change. And it has changed. In my lifetime, man, I've seen lots of changes. And I know many of you that are much older than I am have seen even more changes. But let me tell you, the next generation is going to see even more changes unless the Lord comes. Right? But with all those changes, the Word of God does not change. The truth of the Bible, the truth of the Word of God is still the truth. No matter how many ways that some try to go around it, that's what I'm trying to say. Some try to tiptoe around things or preach around certain subjects or not talk about certain things, but let me tell you, the truth is the truth. And as much as we'd like to not hear the truth sometimes, it's still the truth. I think we understand that. I hope. We must be a generation that is meditating on God's Word. How's your meditation time? We don't use that word too much, do we? Usually we think of meditation, we think of somebody sitting on a yoga mat. But no, we meditate on God's Word. What's that mean? We think about it. We ponder it. We read it, and we don't just read through it. We read it and say, okay, God, show me what this means. Help me to understand what you want from me. Joshua 1:8 says, study the book. Study the book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in what you do. Wow. In Joshua 1:8, the Lord commands Joshua to meditate on the book of the law day and night, and highlighting the transformative power of immersing ourselves in the Word of God. Have you ever done that? When you do that, it's like immersing yourself in Jesus. You and Jesus become one, right? You remain in Him. I'll remain in you, in the vine, connected. I think through meditation, we gain wisdom and strength and discernment. And that's how we navigate all the challenges in life. That's how we can walk in obedience because we know what God wants from us. You know what God wants from you? Yeah, amen. You know what God wants from you. He wants you to be obedient. Obedient to what? Yeah, obedient to the Word. Sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes we don't like what the Word says. As I was saying, sometimes we want to, but now let's skip that page. Let's go on to the next page. And then you find out, well, the next page, let's go to the next page. And you keep thumbing through it until you find maybe something that justifies. But we must be a generation that is intentionally teaching and in repetition and of God's Word. We've got to. We got to meditate. Again, I want to go back on that. We got to meditate God's Word day and night. We can align our thoughts with the truth. We find guidance. I find comfort in that. Amen? I find comfort. I find direction in that, because if I think I'm headed the wrong direction, I can look at the scripture and it will tell me if I'm going the right way or not. Amen.
Amen.
We got to be intentional about teaching. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 there. When we go back to verse 7, it says, repeat them again and again. Repeat them again and again. How many sermons have you heard in your life? Five? Yeah. That's funny. I love Teddy so much. I do. I do. I love Teddy so much. I don't know what I'd do without him. But you know, we've heard so much. We've heard so much repetitive. You know, there's nothing I really could say up here that's not already been said. That's the truth. Word's been around for a long time. Man, there's been some great preachers out there that's preached some pretty powerful sermons. I've gotten some of my good stuff from that, right? But nothing they said, it's been said before too. You know, even Jesus preached some stuff that already been said before, right? It's pretty amazing. Why? It's repetitive, right? Don't you remember, he says. You remember when he told me he's going to the cornfields and they got after him for picking corn on the Sabbath day because they were hungry. They weren't just picking corn for money. They were hungry. He said, well, don't you remember what David did? And he quotes some scripture. A lot of times he'd quote scripture, you know. What did he do when he was tempted by Satan? Quoted the word of God. Well, here's the word, quoting the word. That was always interesting to me. I guess he knew it well, because he was the word. But it instructs us here in Deuteronomy to diligently teach God's commands to our children, repeating them continually throughout our life. I mean, kids, I'm telling you, I remember as a kid, you know. Don't do that. Why? It's an intentional approach to discipleship. You know, you're making little disciples out of your kids, right? We do our best. We're human, you know, so we make mistakes, but we do our best to disciple our kids. Teaching them, training them up, equipping them to navigate life's challenges with wisdom and discernment, right? We do the best we can. Training up children, what does that look like? Sometimes we think of a guy riding a horse or training a horse with a whip and a set of spurs. Sometimes that's what we want to do to our kids, you know, but surely not, yeah. I know one horse trainer that I used to work with. He said, you know, sometimes it takes a feather. And he said, sometimes it takes a two before. That's why I got a bare spot on my head, I think. I wonder why hair didn't grow there. I think, you know, sometimes it takes a two before. But training up our children, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, direct your children unto the right path. And when they are older, they will not leave it. Man, isn't that a wonderful promise? That's a wonderful promise. We hope that, don't we? We hope that. Because you know what? We have prodigals, don't we? We have prodigals. Sometimes our kids want to go their own direction. I'm just being honest now. Sometimes our kids, you know, even though we've done everything that we could do, sometimes our kids go their direction and the choices that they make. But, you know, I think of that story, what the father was doing the whole time his kid was gone. He's praying. He was standing in the promise that one day his son would come back. He was living in that promise and he was looking for it. Because what's the scripture say? He saw him. He was looking down the road for him. And when he saw him, he rejoiced about it, you know, had a big party. He didn't, you know, I mean, that's a wonderful thing. So we have to be that way too, as hard as it can be. We have to stand strong in faith in the promises of the scripture. That compels parents to train up their children. It does. It compels them to train them up in the way they should go. It, you know, that's an important scripture to me, but it's also an intentional discipleship on our part. And it's intentional within the family unit that we teach our kids and show them. You know, it's important for our kids to sit here in church service. You know why it's important? It's important for our kids to see us pray. It's important for our kids to see us worship. Amen? It's important. Because what they see us do, they're going to see the importance in that. And they're going to want to do the same thing. Sometimes we're not so good at that. That's why we got to model our life to the best of our ability. We got to model our life, a life of faith, believing in things of unseen, crazy stories in the scripture. A man gets swallowed by a whale and lives. Or a big fish. We don't know if it's a whale. Is this the big fish? Right? That's a crazy story. Moses parting the Red Sea. It's a crazy story. I could go on. There's even more crazier stories in there than that. But as parents and mentors and as leaders in the church, well, just Christians, just born-again believers, we have the privilege and responsibility to share our faith, to share the Word of God with everyone else around you, to help shape. That's why discipleship is so important. It helps shape the next generation. And if we're relaxed in that, guess what? The next generation is going to be taught a relaxed way of doing things. And then the next generation is even going to be more relaxed than that generation. And then it's going to be, there won't be any faith at all. That's the importance of the church, the importance of discipleship. We have to instill godly values and principles into the hearts of children. And I say children because we have some older people that are really children too. Because we have new Christians. Sometimes people don't get saved until later in their life. They're a babe in Christ and they're children, and we have to show them. Sometimes people just don't know. Never were raised that way. Never were taught those things. Some people, they don't even know the story of David and Goliath. They don't even know the story of Moses. And that's why God's like, you do this. generation after generation. You teach generation after generation so they don't forget what I did. Don't forget. Have Passover meal. Sit down and celebrate it and think about what I did. Right? That's why Jesus said when we do communion, we're going to do communion today. He said, as many times as you do this to remember what I did for you. Right? We do this over and over and over and over and over again to continually remind ourselves of what Jesus did for us. To show our kids the importance of it. We must be a generation that is displaying an integration of faith into our everyday life. And it's important, isn't it? It's really, it ensures, that approach ensures that God's truth is in every part of our existence, guiding our decisions. Do you pray for everything that you do? You pray and you ask God to help you make decisions in everything? Sometimes I pray like, God, what am I going to eat? I'm serious. Especially now because I have some allergies and I'm like, okay, what am I going to eat? I ate some bacon this morning. It was good. I had bacon last week too. It's a first little piece of bacon. First bacon I've had in a year. The doctor told me, he said, you need to start eating little bits and find out what you can tolerate. You know, because I have this alpha gal thing. Oh, some of you may know that. Some of you don't. I got bit by a tick. It carries a protein in it that attacks red meat. Carb, you know, on the molecular level, I guess I can't explain it all. And dairy. So I can't have any dairy and I can't have any red meat. That means no pork, no beef. Yeah. And that's been like the hardest thing ever in my life. But I ate a steak 2 days ago. I haven't had a steak in like forever. It was like the best thing ever. I mean, it was so good. And then we went to Fujiyama's yesterday. And I got so sick. I've been sick ever since. I couldn't even sing this morning. But praise God, you know. My point is I don't know really what my point is. I got to get out. My faith in God's more important than that, you know. I did get to eat bacon. Okay, that's a good point. I got to get going here. I'm getting way behind. So, but we got to be a generation that's hiding God's word in our hearts, and we have to be a generation that is displaying that faith in front of everybody, okay? In front of people who doesn't know Christ, they just see it in you. They see something different because of your faith. I have faith, you know. If I eat something and die, guess what? I'm going to heaven. Not that I want to eat something and die, but it's just the thing is I don't worry about those things anymore because I have faith in Jesus Christ who gave his life for me and has gone away to prepare a place for me. And if something happens to me here in this world's not my home anyway, right? I love my family. I teach my family to love Jesus. And I know that if I leave this world, they're going to be there one day too, right? Because I did everything I could do to teach them about Jesus. And I'm going to be in heaven for eternity, not just for a short time here in suffering. I bet I can eat bacon in heaven. Maybe, I don't know if he, you know, he said not to eat pork for a reason. I'm wondering if there won't be pork in heaven. I was worried about that one. Maybe that's the only thing I'm worried about. That great banquet table that's prepared. Yeah. There'll be the fatted calf. I'll have a big steak. All right, there you go. Psalms 119:11 declares, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Important. You know the word of God? Let me tell you, if you get ready to do something, you know, you're going to know it's not, I shouldn't do this, right? Because the word is hidden in your heart. Amen? You know that you shouldn't do it. Why? Because it's in the scripture. And we have to, that's a transformative power that works within you. He said, I will hide my laws upon your hearts. I will write them on your hearts, right? All men will know the difference. And as we hide God's word in our hearts, we equip ourselves with spiritual armor, and it guards us against the assaults of the enemy. Jesus himself, I said that a while ago, defeated Satan, defeated temptation because of the word of God that he quoted. Amen? He quoted the word. He knew it, right? He was it. We have to remain steadfast in our faith because we believe that the word of God is truth. And if the word of God is truth, then we live in it in faith and God takes care of the rest. Amen? He does. He takes care of the rest. And we have to reflect on the wisdom found here in the scripture, just even here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So I'm going to leave you with this. We got to be intentional about nurturing faith in our generation so that the next generation, right, can carry on that torch of faith. We have to demonstrate all that in front of them. We have to remember the wisdom of Joshua and Proverbs and Psalms, and we have to embrace the call to meditate on God's word and train up this next generation in all his ways. And so I think we have to seize every opportunity that we have to study God's word and apply God's word. And that's why it says in the scripture, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word too. We hear it and then we apply it. It's that process. We hear it and we apply it. We commit ourselves to living out the principles of Scripture, teaching them diligently to our children. And together, through that, we can cultivate the next generation into faithful believers who can live that faith out in front of their generation too. And that's what we're called to do, church. We're called to do that. But let's take a look at yourself this morning, inside. I know you know what you look like. You probably looked in the mirror this morning. You didn't walk away. You haven't forgotten what you look like. Remember, Paul talks about that. But we have to examine ourselves, is what Paul said before communion. If the ladies will... We're going to take a moment this morning as they're preparing and passing out communion cups. Just take a moment to reflect on your own life. And I know we all have things that we wish we would have done better, but we can't reflect on those things that we wish we could have done better because, you know, we can't change those things. The only things that we can change is what we do from this point on forward. When you walk out the door today, you can walk out the door with a new commitment and say, you know what? I'm going to be more faithful in my witness. I'm going to be more faithful in my Bible reading. I'm going to be more faithful from this day forward. So take a moment this morning and reflect. Lord, I just thank you for this great group of people who have come this morning. Lord, may their lives be richly blessed and overflowing with the fullness of your grace and your mercy and your love. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.